on the stuff, and then we'll...
We are on.
Okay. So then we'll have roll call minutes, election of the council president, and then we'll get it right to you at that point, Buzz. Okay?
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Everybody ready?
Okay.
Okay. Make sure we're live here. Here's the R. Okay, I think we
are.
Oh, is that okay? Good. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that you have alerts for me.
Yeah.
I feel very honored about that. Okay, we'll go ahead and call the common council meeting to order. It is 6:01 p.m. on Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Weagle. Farga.
Here.
Reffitt.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on Tuesday, December 29th, 2020. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Okay. All except for Jennifer, who is
abstaining.
Thank you.
Second, she is moving.
Oh. That's a great question. Greg is asking if you can actually make the motion since you can't approve them. So let's back up. That's my fault. I should have caught that procedural motion.
I did not know.
That's okay. Dan's going to make the motion. Who seconded it?
Jenny.
Okay, so Dan motions and Jenny seconds. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. Chad, Walt, Jenny. Dan approves. Jennifer abstains. That was my fault. Procedural motion, my bad. Next up is the election of the council president. We'll open the floor for nominations for council president.
I nominate Walt Crowder to continue as council president.
Okay, I have a nomination for Walt Crowder. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, I do have a motion to close nominations and accept Walt Crowder as president for 2021.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Chad. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign.
Abstain.
Okay, so all but Walt approved. Thank you. Congratulations, Council President Crowder.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Next up is discussion on the lesser grade adjustment. I'm pleased to have our rate consultant, Buzz Crone, with us tonight to kind of go through some of that information. By the way, all that information was given to you in your packet for your review, and I'm assuming he'll be going through a lot of those. Also with us tonight is Lee Boss, who is from the Utility Rate Advisory Board. As a reminder, the Utility Rate Advisory Board is a citizen board, a board made up of our customers, our utility customers, and they meet and advise the council, and so Lee is the chairman of the Utility Rate Advisory Board, and so we'll hear from him in a little bit, but I appreciate both of you being here tonight, and I'll go ahead, and Bud, we'll go ahead and hand it off to you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor, and Happy New Year to everybody. Congratulations, Walt, I think. keep your phone open. You'll be a good president. And anyhow, did everybody get a copy of this preliminary report that we've updated it a couple of times, you know, because of the COVID and everything, wasn't appropriate to move forward earlier this year, but I'd probably rather go through some just highlights rather than go through a lot of the numbers, but I'm certainly willing to answer questions or or provides as much detail on the numbers as you like, but just sort of a general background on the utility, the electric utility. These rates were, the current rates that you have were approved by the Utility Regulatory Commission back in 2010. And I think that was very early on in Ryan's tenure as mayor. And
yeah, it was actually before me.
It started before you, yeah. I think you didn't you have to go to the hearing?
No, that was the water. That was the water rate increase is the one I inherited. But yes, but yeah, it was done before even my time.
That's right. That was water. But
yep.
At any rate, the study was done in 2009, and the base year was 2008. So essentially, the rates you've got in place right now are about 12 years old. And so there hasn't been any general rate adjustments for the electric other than the quarterly energy cost adjustment changes from IMPA, the rates that it charges the city. We pass those on and then go up or down through an energy cost adjustment procedure that certainly started with the IURC, and we've continued that procedure even though the utility or the city has subsequently opted out of the IURC, which I think there's only about maybe 2% of the municipal utilities that are still in the IURC. There's only two, I think, municipal electrics out of the 72, and there's a handful of water utilities, but 90, you know, I believe there's like 400 some municipal water utilities, and there's only about a handful of them that remain in the IURC. There aren't as many municipal electric utilities. You've got 72 municipal electrics in the state, and only two municipal electrics remain under the IURC. So you didn't do any, you didn't really get out on a limb in doing so, but it was a good move. And I think, you know, the fear some people have is that, well, gee, if you're going to get out of the IURC, you're going to raise rates every year. Well, it's been 12 years since, you know, that just doesn't hold water because, you know, you as councilors or the mayor as mayor, you got to pay the same rates as everybody else. There's certainly no incentive to just raise rates at will, but it's time. And in fact, in the last 3 years, some of the deferred maintenance and upgrades have really kind of caught up with the city. And for instance, at the end of 2017, we had about almost $3 million in the electric utility funds. As of June 30 of 2020, which was the last update that was in the reports that I believe you all have, we were down to about $690,000, and out of that $690,000, about $280,000 was meter deposit money, so that's really not usable money anyway. So we've got a working capital issue that we really need to address, and there are still projects coming up. I think in 2019, you expended about $1.5 million in capital outlays. That was a major hit on, and all that came out of the cash reserves. You basically, the current rates are covering your operation and maintenance costs and the cost of buying power from IMPA, but anything above that, for instance, reconductoring, pole replacements, metering, things of that nature, all come off of your accumulated reserves, and we've got to get that remedied. And really we've got two issues we're dealing with. One, again, we've been able to pass along the changes in purchasing power, but there's about $3 million a year in overhead for the linemen and the city costs of service for operating the electric utility. That number hasn't, you know, you haven't generated any new money there for the last 10 or 12 years. So that's really what we're focused on. And one of the things, we had a base charge, a consumer charge of $4.88 a month. That's been what the monthly fixed charge is for the last 12 years. And before that, it was less than that. That's one thing that we'd like to address. And what we propose there is to go to a $15 customer charge. That's still way under your neighboring competing utility. Not that there's competition, but we all want to be competitive, and you're still going to be, you know, probably two-thirds of where they are. But that's about a $10 hit per month for every customer, basically. And then the variable usage charges will increase, but really relatively nominal amount. We're looking at, we've proposed a two-phase rate adjustment. Can I share a screen with you here?
Let me give you that authority. Give me a second here.
You have to undisable me. I know that's always scary when they disable my, when they enable my screen sharing.
I believe I made you host.
I was just going to put the rate schedule up there. Let me find the right. Okay. I just have to find the right screen here on my end.
Well, I was going to say, I believe I made you host, so you should be able to.
Okay.
Should be able to go up and do it that way, but again, I don't know.
Yeah. Thought I queued that one up already, but. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. Can you all see that screen?
No.
No? How about now?
No, Dad.
Are we no?
I'm coming in the.
Can you tell us what page to go to on your presentation?
Yes, sure. Thank you. This is on page 2 of the booklet, and I'm sorry we're not able.
Let me try. Let me see if I can try something else here. But
are you still seeing my face, Avenir?
Yes. Yes, we still see your face.
Well, that's always nice.
So you're looking good, Buzz.
Well, tell you what, let's I think it might be on my end here why I'm not being able to. Let me just do this. I'm just gonna talk you through the numbers here, and. On page 2 of the report, it shows you that our test year, which is 12 months ended June of 2020, we had a net operating loss of about $400,000. So that's a major issue, and then we also need additional funding for capital projects. So. The $10 a month base charge will generate about $500,000. And then the difference between, we're also proposing 6.3%. There we go.
I just went ahead and did it. So if you need me to change pages, you just tell me, bud.
Boy, you are good. You are good. Thank you. You can see the... proposed customer base charge change there is a little over $500,000. I don't know if you're looking in that adjustment column. I'm kind of looking at that pro forma phase one column where phase one would include that $10 base charge adjustment and a 6.5% change in variable usage charge. So that would drive our revenues up to about $4.1 million, and that would provide, it would fully fund the $600,000. You see the $609,811 there highlighted in yellow. That's our depreciation allowance. And then the other yellow number in column, phase one column, is the net operating income. We're proposing that that go to, in phase one, $165,000. In phase two, we'd like to see that number up over $427,000. And if you look to the right, where it shows what our pro forma was back in that 2010 rate study, I believe that number was about $500,000. So we're basically just trying to get back to where we were in, you know, 12 years ago to come up with pretty close to the same numbers. We've got a little higher depreciation and a little lower net operating income, but it comes out to about $1 million a year, which we would use for capital project, building up our work, rebuilding our working capital allowance. And we may need to do a little bit of interim financing for a substation project. Is that right, Sean? Is that the substation the next hurdle? I don't know if Sean can, if he's got his mic on or not. I see him.
let me see if I can help here.
I was just...
there you go.
But there are more projects. The bottom line is we've got some other big projects still on the hopper. I was thinking there was a $750,000 substation upgrade that's imminent.
Yeah, that directly ties into the AEP conversion to the 69 kV project, and also to the relays and our North substation. When we do that project, that will give us the redundancy from an automatic transfer for that transmission speed that we've talked about and approved the engineering for already.
Yeah, with utilities, redundancy is a good word. Most of the time, redundancy is redundant, but with this, utilities want redundancy. That way, if you have a failure in one part of your system, you've got a way to reestablish service. But the overall increase for phase one is about 10.9%. You can see that in the red numbers off to the left of the net operating income. And then phase two, which I believe we have scheduled to come in a year after phase one, would be additional 2.7% increase in only the variable use. And we're proposing that because, you know, we think we're going to need to be there, but we want to have a little bit of time to assess what our revenues has to come out with another base rates insurance. So if we find that we're generating sufficient funds, maybe we can hold back or defer implementation of phase two. But for right now, we'd like to include it. That way, if things go as we think they're going to go, we're going to want to be there. And at the bottom of the page, even though you're not regulated, I put in what they call a rate base and rate of return calculation. And when we went to the commission 12 years ago, you were approved for a 9% rate of return on your equity and your fixed asset, your utility plant service. Phase one would only produce about 2.5% rate of return. Phase two would get us up to about 6%. So we're still going to be, from a rate of return standpoint, we're still well below what was approved when we were under the regulatory commission jurisdiction. I just thought I'd put that up there since, you know, to sort of put some of this in perspective, because this is the first time we've had a base rate change since we got out of the IURC, what, about 8 years ago?
Yep.
I think it was your first year, wasn't it, Ryan, when we opted out of there?
Yeah, it was. It was either first or second year. Actually, I think it may have been second year because it was right after the rate case, the water rate case, and so yeah, and council was unanimously approving of that as well. Yeah. So
good. Well, why don't we if we go to the next page, page 3? Yeah, right there. That's perfect. This sort of shows if you look at part of your present rate. Includes the ECA, we call it energy cost adjustment roll-in factor, and that's basically taking the changes in the cost of purchasing power from back in 2009 or 2010 versus 2020 was about 1.6 cents per kilowatt hour. And so what we do is we roll that into the base rate and then compute the both rates on an across-the-board percentage from the prior base rate with the ECA roll-in factor. On your current rate right now, that's what you've been experiencing. You know, we're not really, it's just rolling in what's been tracked since 2010 when these rates were approved. Tracking the changes in the cost of buying coming. So we get to the top line there. The base charge goes from $4.88 to $15. And then we leave that the same in the phase two proposal. The metered rates for all users go up 6.5% in phase one. And then 2.9% phase two. So that's sort of, you know, and I would say probably 95% of your customers are in these rate categories. There may be, why don't we slide down that page a little bit? You know, that just shows some of the other large power rate classifications, but we're basically treating everybody the same. They're all going to get. If they get a little bit more time for some of these bigger ones just to come out to even numbers, but everybody's going to be getting the 6.5% increase in the metered usage charge, and then phase two would be an additional 2.9%. And again, we'd like to go ahead and propose the two phases. If we find that we're earning more than what we thought in phase one, you know, we may keep an eye on that, and if we can, but if at this point we believe we're going to need to get to phase two. So I know we've had several meetings with your utility rate advisory board, and Lee's done a great job of headlining that effort. I don't know, do you want to make any comments?
I'll just make a few without hopefully repeating it. But I'm Lee Boss. I'm the non-city resident of the Utility Regulatory Board. Well, I am a customer of the electric utility. The electric utility is unique among the city's utilities in that it doesn't have any long-term debt or bond schedules. And as Buzz said before, it had built up some pretty substantial cash reserves. But those reserves have been drawn down in the last several years pretty quickly. I'd like to refer to your page 7 of your report. If I don't know if you can bring that up or.
Yeah, can you do that?
There's a couple. And that is the comparative statement of net position. And if you're able to bring that up or you find it page 7. In a small
repeater. There we go. You're there.
Yeah. And I'd like you to look at just a couple lines. And again, the first one is look under, it'll be the non-current assets. You're going to have to bring it up a little bit more, Buzz. And look at the line that says non-current assets, cash reserve fund. And you can see how the cash reserves have been drawn down pretty substantially over the last 2 years. And then drop down to the next category, to capital assets. And you can see the capital assets between 2018 and 2019 have a substantial increase. And a lot of that is the 69 kV conversion project and other capital projects. But basically, you went on for 12 years of not passing on any cost increases and doing these capital upgrades. And also under capital assets, I'd like to point out something. The capital asset line is basically the initial cost of all your equipment, all the way from the transmission lines, distribution lines, poles, meters, bucket trucks, and everything else is in there. And at the end of the year, it was $16,876,000. But look at the next line, accumulated depreciation. That is how much you've depreciated it over the years, and it's substantially depreciated, and which to me tells me you basically have a lot of aging equipment out there, and as some of that aging equipment has to be replaced, the new cost is much higher, and you're going to need additional cash reserves to replace those capital assets as they wear out and as they do from time to time. So you're operating with, an aged system that's going to need repairs and replacements in the future.
Lee, that's a great point. And, that brings up another point. If we had to value that at a replacement cost, I'll bet you'd be $40 million.
If you had to replace, that's what the utility has spent over its history, a distribution line and poles can last 75 years or more sometimes. But they do get worn out and they're expensive to replace. So our utility board, in evaluating all this, basically came to the recommendation we need to stop the hemorrhaging the cash, rebuild the reserves, as Buzz pointed out. And that's why we voted to implement the rate increase, and then we voted to implement the two steps. The first step, as soon as it could be feasibly or legally adopted, and the second step a year later. So that was a recommendation of our utility rate advisory board, and we recommend the city council approve the two-step increase as proposed.
And you can tell based on Lee's wording and the way in which he described that, you can tell that Lee has a pretty good background when it comes to electrical systems. Lee, do you want to maybe just highlight for a few moments your background and why you're such a good fit on the Utility Rate Advisory Board?
Well, I worked on utility regulations, I think, for over 40 years. I was with American Electric Power in Fort Wayne, Indiana Michigan Power. I was in the headed up the rates and tariffs section. Then later moved to Michigan and headed up the rates for a small electric utility there. And then when I retired, returned here.
You're lucky to have a company there.
Yeah, I'd also like to comment on the rate structure where we proposed the $15 monthly customer service charge. And that may sound like a large percentage increase, but it's been 10 or a dozen years since the last test year. I checked the tariffs. Indiana Michigan Power in Fort Wayne is also at $15 monthly customer service charge. Northeastern REMC is at $25 a month. For Northeastern's standpoint, they serve a much more rural system, and they make a more proportionally investment in distribution plants than others. But the $15 per month is not out of the ballpark. It looks big percentage wise right now, but it's in line with whatever the other neighboring utilities.
Yeah, thank you, Lee. I really appreciate that information. And again, I appreciate the work of the Utility Rate Advisory Board because, again, you know, certainly as it is with myself and with city council members and with others and certainly our residents, you know, certainly every time we have to consider raising utility rates, it's never an easy thing. But again, obviously, it's been over a decade since we've raised electric rates, and you got to remember that each of the utilities are their own entity. They have their own accounts, they have their own expenditures, they have their own systems, etc. And so while, you know, citizen A, B, or C is going to get a bill that has a combination or maybe all of our utilities on their one bill, each of those individual utilities are separate in and of themselves. Buzz, I know you probably have more to say, but I do want to maybe stop for 2 seconds and give Sean an opportunity to talk a little bit, because obviously we talked about a lot of capital that has been expended in the last couple of years, but we also know as the council and elected officials of the city that you guys have been doing a whole lot of upgrades to our system. So I don't know if you wanted to take a moment, Sean, to talk about the multitude of upgrades that not only have you been able to do, but that you've had to do based on changes around us.
Absolutely. One of the bigger investments we've made is our AMI system. And you know, that did come out of our cash reserves, but what that has done is not only increased our customer service, but that move was necessary because of the aging infrastructure and our aging meters that we had in that needed replaced anyway. So, you know, we are on the forefront of technology as far as our meters are concerned now, and our customer service has got to the roof because of that project. We've rebuilt miles and fund miles of line in just the last 4 years. We haven't done a line project in nearly 5 years before that. And so, you know, we got staff to the point where they're back trained. We had a rash of retirements back about 8 years ago where we lost all of our qualified linemen. And so we've had a lot of investment in training these younger guys and getting them up to the journeyman status and putting money into the equipment. Trucks for aging. We've gone a long way to the utility and this board and council. We've made a lot of progress in not only technology, but in all of our infrastructure. We're in a lot better shape. Our system's in better shape. You know, we've just been able to invest a lot into improving the quality of the electric service to each and every one of our customers. I know the next step is we talk about the 69 kV project that AEP is currently working on, which is going to double the voltage coming into our transmission system. You know, we're looking at it, you know, $300,000 worth of investment. Just, you know, that it's going to be a mandatory investment because of AEP's commitment to rebuilding their section of line. So, but it is, like I said, it's going to improve our system as well. Everything we've done has improved our system and improved our reliability. And, you know, we look to do more improvements in the future. You know, you guys have seen my five-year plans. A lot of the stuff that was on my five-year plans of 5 years ago is completed because of this and because of you guys' cooperation. And like you say, Lee and Matt, that crew has done a great job. They put a lot of thought into it. You know, you see some of these boards that people just show up and raise a hand. These guys put a lot of thought, a lot of time, a lot of effort into it, and I do appreciate that. It keeps everybody accountable, and I just love the thought and time that they put into it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and also to that point, again, I can't express enough my appreciation for the work that they do. You know, when we did leave the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission, the discussion that council made, which some of you were on at that time, the discussion point of that was, okay, where is the accountability then? What is the oversight going to be? How are we going to ensure that some rogue council, rogue mayor, rogue clerk treasurer aren't going to go out and just jack up rates in order to line their pockets effectively? And the response to that was, we already have a utility rate advisory board in our statute, there in our ordinances. How can we, you know, restart that? And so we restarted it with this idea of, four members of the Utility Rate Advisory Board from each of the four council districts, and one at-large member that is from the rural portion of our utility line, which is the 4-3. And so that really creates across-the-board accountability. It gives the number, the hard numbers that a lot of people aren't going to go through. This board has gone through it, and again, I can't speak enough about their work. They're great. They take time out of their night to do that, and so thanks again, Lee. So, Buzz, I don't know if you have any additional thoughts, and then we'll open it up for questions from the council.
Yeah, I think, you know, between Sean and Lee and you, I think we've really covered most of the important bases. You know, the next, obviously, questions from council, but procedurally, you know, I'm not sure if this counts as the introduction of the rate ordinance or is this just the initial presentation. A rate ordinance would eventually come to the council for introduction, and then we'll have to have a public hearing.
Right.
So
the way I kind of foresee this, if you will, is obviously this is the conversation piece. This is where we get the information from Buzz and from Lee, and we have some conversation. And if the council decides to move forward tonight, then there will be a rate ordinance that will be introduced at the next meeting, and then we will follow the state code as to how we run through that process. So with that, I guess I'll open it up to council members for the questions that you may have of Sean or Buzz or Lee or myself, and we can kind of go from there. Chad.
So I assume, Buzz, that you looked at implementing this as in one chunk as opposed to, or one phase as opposed to two phases. Is there a reason why you chose two? Is it just to, I guess, lighten the increase?
The second phase will get us back to about the same net revenues as our rate case did back in 2010. It was actually, the study was based on 2008. The commission order didn't come out until 2010. And that was about after paying for the cost of power and then the operation and maintenance costs, the cash operating expenses, that left about $1 million a year for depreciation, reserves, and capital improvements. Like I say, you know, we've lasted 12 years, but the last few years, some of those big depreciation items have kind of caught up with us, and there's still more forthcoming. So we knew that we wanted to do something substantial in phase one, and that's, you know, the $10 increase on the base charge and the 6.5% increase on the variable cost per kilowatt hour. We'd like to get to phase two, but we thought that year, you know, wouldn't be quite as big of a jolt for everybody. And then we can also sort of assess with this restructuring, you know, what the real impact is, you know, over the next 12 months, we can be looking at that and seeing if we're generating more than we need or what have you. You know, maybe we could come back and reconsider phase two or defer it another 6 months, or, you know. But we didn't want to hit them with all at once. But we are taking a substantial. We're biting off a big piece of the apple with phase one, and then we'll like I say, based on what we know right now, we know we need to get to phase two, but we want to monitor and see what happens. You know, for the first year or so with the new rates, and just sort of assess things at that point. But without having to come back and, you know, drag the council through another adoption, you know, you can always lower the second phase, but you can't raise it without going through another public hearing and all of those hoops. So that's sort of what we kicked around with the rate advisory board and the mayor and Sean, and I think everybody felt comfortable doing that. The big step is phase one. Phase two is sort of a minor step, but we'll kind of have a year of assessment of how the impact of phase one really turns out. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, I was more wondering why we just didn't do it all at one time, but I understand with your explanation.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we actually, Sean and I talked about that too, because obviously the more we bite off in phase one, the sooner we'll, you know, restore some of these depleted cash reserves. But on the other hand, with all the dynamics of the COVID and all the other issues that are impacting people's lives, you've had a lot of sewer projects over the last 10 years that, you know, if you compare the base charge for your wastewater utility with the base charge for the electric utility, it's quite a difference. Obviously, wastewater's heavily capital intensive utility to operate, but the electric utility, obviously, they're all equally important. But that's certainly an option if the council decides that they'd like to just go to these two right now and do it all in one. That certainly wouldn't. I would not object to that. I don't think Sean would object to that. And it was something that we did pick around. That's an excellent point to make.
Thank you.
Well, Anita, please.
There we go. But just clarifying, we have a lot of capital projects, high dollar projects coming in 2021 and 22 and so on. Is this rate increase going to cover those costs? And so when we get to the end of that cycle, I'm not back where I am today?
If the answer to that is eventually. But what we may do, I think there's a $750,000 project at the substation. Is that right, Sean? And that one, we may do an interim financing. We could either do, you know, adopt a bond ordinance and maybe just do a bond anticipation note to keep in the short term and try to pay it off in 3 to 5 years instead of going out 10 or 15 years. We are talking about maybe doing some sort of interim financing to address some of those big ticket items, because we don't have cash to pay for cash out of it right now. But a short term bond anticipation note, or that would be interest rates are still excellent right now, and the shorter the term, obviously, the lower the rates. But you know, the sooner we get something in place here, the better. And having, you know, if you went right to phase two, that certainly gives you a lot more leverage capability. You get about $250,000 of additional net revenues that you can use for bond payments and debt coverage.
Right.
All of that would come out of the depreciation and the net operating income.
I respect your comment about we have to be sensitive to the community and, you know, what's going on around us. And so, now, does this also include equipment?
Yeah, basically, if you look at the depreciation factor is $610,000, and the net operating income for phase one is projected at $165,000. So you basically will have about $775,000 a year to address either capital projects on a pay-go basis, bond payments if we choose to do a small bond anticipation note for some of these bigger projects that are imminent this year. And then we still want to build up our cash reserves as well. So,
Sean, you know, I'm thinking about the new truck that we're going to get for the electric department. So I just want to make sure that that's in that calculation for this year to be covered without having to do special financing.
Yeah, it would come out of that. Right now we're looking at about $775,000 in phase one as being available for equipment, capital outlays, and building up our cash reserves. If we go to phase two, that basically gives us another $250,000, and we're back up at about $1 million a year, which is where we were from our 2009 rate case. That was sort of the target we hit at that point. And
okay. Well, thank you, bud.
Yeah, no, good question, Walt. Thank you.
So I will say, my dad is pretty involved about the possibility of doing some bonding. Sometimes there's some financial advantages to not spending your cash reserves as well. So, and with interest rates being where they're at. Also, the step approach to the rate increase is partially because the longevity of these some of these projects that we're trying to complete. It's over a year time span to complete some of these projects. So we won't actually be incurring those costs for 1 to 2 years in the future. So we're doing some preliminary engineering and things like that, but just like our 59 KV, AEP is not forecasting their completion date until 2022. So, and that's moved back twice already. It was originally 2020 and then it was 2021. So we have to be ready to go when they're ready to go, obviously. But at the same time, it's like I said, hopefully when the second phase of this rate increase kicks in is when we're going to need those additional funds. And that was part of the, you know, the step approach.
All right. Thank you.
Mayor, can I interject with a drafting question?
Yes, Roger.
Lee and Buzz, I just had a question on the start date of phase two. That's the way this goes. Would it be a set date? Will it be 1 year from the date of passing of the ordinance, or a start date from the start date of phase one?
You know, that's an excellent question, Marcia. And since we don't know exactly the date that it would go in place right now, I would say a year from the effective date. But
effective date of the ordinance?
Yes, I think that would be a good way to put that. And then if by chance we wanted to, let me ask you this, if the council decided a year from now that, hey, maybe we don't need all of phase two, would there be any problem in deferring implementing that, or would that require an ordinance amendment, or could they do that? I'm not anticipating we're going to be in that situation. I think we're going to need phase two, but...
Yeah, my opinion would be if we go ahead and put in any sort of trigger date that we probably should have planned, if that should be the case, we should have planned.
Yeah. Well, I would say you hear from the effective date of the ordinance. Are you good with that, Sean?
We talked about the board, and like it takes some time to implement things for the council to approve it, for the billing department to implement the new rates, and whether you do it at the beginning of the billing cycle or not. And then you just pick a date, and when that after the first rate increase goes into effect.
A year later, you come back and implement the stage two.
Well, I drafted in the ordinance that we're going to do these both. If we're approving both phase one and phase two, I might be misunderstanding what you're saying, Lee. But if we draft the ordinance to implement, I just want to make some sort of a trigger date. And three options I gave the trigger date. And I think if we use the effective date of the passing of phase of the ordinance in and of itself, then that gives us the trigger date.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah, you know, I think our board is too. It just us for practically setting a future date for things to kick in.
Sure. Okay. And I realize the details, but realize I may need to go over some of this with you, but I thought this would be good for the council.
Yeah, I know.
What you're looking at.
Yeah, I was a little bit fuzzy on the phase two implementation, so you've gotten right down to the nitty gritty there, Marcia, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I have other questions, but not, they're just little technical things, but perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions for Buzz or Lee or Sean or myself?
I don't have any questions. I just have a comment. I just want to reassure our residents that the rate increase is needed, because I know I hear a lot of people saying, well, you spent money on this technology, you spent money on that technology, you know, now we've got to raise the rates. What they need to understand is those investments that were wisely put in place, so now our return on investment has helped, so we don't have to increase the rates more. So our return on investment on the technology that was so desperately needed for our workforce and was planned out very well by Sean, and our rates are going up because of the investment. It could be even higher. More money needed if we wouldn't have invested in that technology. So there's great work by our people, and you know, it's just one of these things that we're going to have to put in place.
Well said.
Mayor, I just have, just so you know what the schedule is, I have the first reading of the ordinance on the next agenda, 26th, the public hearing, and the second reading on February 9th. So we could technically maybe make March's billing the start of a new rate, if that works.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's where the discussion took place. So,
yeah.
I mean, if the billing cycle can go that quickly, if you can get those changes implemented that quickly, then I guess that kind of goes to a broader question. I'm going to turn this around, but it goes back to a broader question of, you know, really twofold question. Number one, does the council want to move forward with the rate increases, or the rate adjustment rate increase as Buzz was presented? And number two, what kind of implementation schedule do you all want? Obviously, whether it's a year, whether it's 6 months, whether it's, you know, it sounds like Rosie's pretty open to that. It's really just a question of what is the intention of the city council. So with that, I guess I'll open it up to the discussion of that. If it's, you know, consensus of the council members to move forward with this, then again, that rate ordinance can be drafted up and presented at the next meeting. It's just a matter of what the plan is. So, Walt, I see you unmuted, so we'll start with you.
Is there an example that we can look at if we did in a two-step phase and then the same information as a one-step to know the difference in the adjustments? I mean, if step two is only going to be a small percentage, then it does make sense to do one step. But I don't know the difference between the two-step process.
Yeah. Do you want me to? The phase two basically generates another $250,000 a year, and that's the impact overall. Individually, for a residential customer, it's about a little over a penny per kilowatt hour. So, if you had 1,000 kilowatt hours, that would be what, a dollar?
$10, right?
$10.
Yeah, it'd be 10. I think it's $10.
Yeah, for $10, I'm sorry. $10 to go to that phase two.
Is that on a monthly basis, Buzz?
Yeah, that would be for 1,000 kilowatt hours a month, yes.
Is that a typical usage?
Yeah, actually, you know, there's a lot of extremes. You know, at our house here, I've had four grandkids living with me, and, you know, I think last month our power bill was 4,000 kilowatt hours. It was crazy. But we have a cat that lives in the garage, and he keeps very warm with this giant space heater out there. I would say probably, I know Sean ran some numbers at 1,500, or it was, I think it was actually 1,700 or 1,800 kilowatt hours, that first example you sent me yesterday, Sean, and so I'm thinking it's probably, you know, a penny per kilowatt hour is going to be, you know, $10 or $15 a month.
I would say, here in town, it's closer to 500 to 1,000 kilowatt hours, typically smaller houses. When you get into the subdivisions, the bigger houses, Buzz is saying it's between 1,000 and 1,500 kilowatt hours on average.
And that's to go from the phase one to the phase two? That would be the increase?
Yes.
Okay. That's a pretty significant jump from one phase to the other. So that's kind of, you know, putting it in kind of layman's terms or layman's dollar amounts, that makes a lot more sense.
Okay. So that was sort of part of the rationale in breaking it into the two phases, give us a little chance. With the phase one rates, we'd have the ability to borrow, you know, several million dollars if we needed to. I think the one big project that sticks out was, I think that 69 conversion, was that the 750, Sean?
That's correct. That's around 750,000. It's about a 2 to 3 year process as well. So that wouldn't actually hit our books for another 2 to 3 years.
So we also, phase one, we'll have some leverage to do some financing if we need it. But we just like to see how it's a big step, but we'd like to just see how that plays out, and then we've got time to. I think we're going to need the phase two, but.
Okay. Well, Walt, I saw you, and then I saw Jenny. I don't know if you have something, then I saw Tad. So, Walt, I'll start with you.
Just to clarify a comment, phase two of this can only start a year after we do it. If we do it in two steps, so step one, then we have to wait a year before step two can be approached.
That's the way I think Marcia's described setting up the ordinance, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Jenny?
Okay, so my thing is realistically, if we're not bumping at $15, we're going to be looking more at $20 to $25 increase per resident, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, $10 is coming from the base charge, and then probably another 15 or so on the usage charge.
So there's somewhat, so with that point, just to that, kind of to nip that a little bit, not nip it, to just kind of add a little addendum to it, the base charge is really kind of because we provide that service. It's just like our water mains or sewer mains, that service is there, and so it's kind of a base charge that whether you're using 3,000 kilowatt hours or 1,000 or 200 kilowatt hours, still that service is available. So again, the other piece of that is really the usage factor. So that difference is, you know, individuals will have at least some control over their usage in regards to that. So, but just to kind of help with that a little bit, that was helpful for me to understand. So, Chad?
Yeah, I think that example and knowing what the increase would be from phase one to phase two, I mean, personally, my thought is I like the way that it was presented in the two-phase process. Get to where we need to get at least at a minimum basis initially, and then if we have to go for the other 2.9% increase, then we do that as needed, and obviously with the notion that could possibly go down a little bit if necessary.
Yep. I may have misspoken on that phase one to phase two increase. It's really only about a half a cent per kilowatt hour.
So roughly $5 to $10 additional cost per person per month.
Yeah. And you've got, as Sean indicated, you've got customers that use 500 kilowatt hours. You know, I would say, you know, your single elderly widow, fixed income type person is not going to be a big user. But yeah, the change in the right now they're presently paying about 10.8 cents per kilowatt hour for the first 500. We're projecting phase one only goes up to 11.6 cents, so that's only about 0.8 cents increase to phase one, and then phase two is about a little bit more than half of that, but close to half of that. So I think I overstated that $10 increase is probably going to be closer to, well, you're going to get to $10 on the base charge, but the kilowatt hour charge is only going up 0.8 cents in phase one and about 0.4 cents in phase two. So I think we overestimated the phase two change.
So the only difference going to phase two then is just the actual use the kilowatt hour rate. So the base rate is going to be changed in the first, would be changed in the first segment, and so the only thing that would change in the second segment is just that again that usage. Kilowatt hour rate. So I don't know if that clears it up.
I'll put a table together that shows the current rates at different usages. Maybe we'll do 500, 1,000, 1,500 kilowatt hours, and then what it would be, what it is currently, and what it would be proposed to be in phase one and phase two. I think the biggest hit is really the base charge because we've been able to track the energy charges changes through the ECA process that you do every quarter. And so I'll put that together and get it to you and Marcia for the rate introduction. So you've got something more specific than just the rate table.
I gotcha. Okay.
Right.
Sounds good to me. I think that'd be helpful for everybody. So, okay. Any other last minute questions?
Just want to know how we got showed in two different cameras.
There's a dog in the center. Bravo. Okay.
When you're that good, you get two cameras.
Okay, with that,
Mayor,
yes, Sean.
Mayor, just real quick, one thing we will need to change on the Schedule B is I talked to Buzz about adding a renewable energy customer charge so that these customers are paying their fair share of the infrastructure like everyone else, and so the council knows, you know, that's how we fund. You know, our infrastructure is however many kilowatt hours you use, you're paying for your portion of the infrastructure. With some of these renewables, that lowers that. So we will need to add that to the Schedule B, and I can get with, I'm not sure who's going to be typing this up, if it's Rosie or Marcia, but I'll need to get with them and get that added if you can.
And that's for the people that generate their own solar power?
That is correct.
Okay, so here's what is it? Let me ask the question. Is it the council's preference to move forward with a two-phase rate increase, as or at least an ordinance we drafted up for a two-phase rate increase per Buzz's guidelines with the addition of Sean? If it is, you can unmute or you can throw up your thumbs up so that I can see it. I see one. I see two, three. Four, five. Okay. So we will we'll have a combination of Marcia, Sean, Buzz, whoever draft that up, and we'll have the first reading at the next meeting. And appreciate the conversation. Again, I just want to reiterate, you know, to our audience, and certainly you all know that rate increases are never fun. That takes more dollars out of our wallets just as much as it does everybody else's. And But again, it's very rare to have a whole decade go by without doing a rate increase. And so I think that that's something to be said about the stewardship of the electric utility. And and also certainly the we really are, and I would say this without even if Sean wasn't on here, we really are blessed to have a good electric utility. A lot of other organizations, cities, towns, counties, don't have electric utilities, and we're blessed to have that because it gives us the ability to work with people. It gives us the ability to have the billing schedule and to be able to have direct representation on the decision making of those electric rates. Whereas there's obviously a lot of investor-owned utilities and others that don't necessarily have that direct involvement. So appreciate the improvements we've made in that utility and Sean's leadership in regards to that. Certainly something we're going to have to continue to move forward on in order to continue moving our community forward. We'll move forward with that, the first reading of that ordinance at the next meeting. Buzz and Lee, anything, any last words you'd like to give us before you're done?
Thank you all for the great discussion. I think we've had great interaction here tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, I say thank you for your interest and your questions.
Great. Thanks, both of you. I appreciate it. You are relieved.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
So next up on our agenda is Ordinance 2020-38. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Kat. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. There we go. Okay. Please read ordinance unanimous. Please read ordinance 2020-38 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-38, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from the R1 single family residential district to the LB local business district.
You'll remember that this ordinance came up, the zoning change came up last time, and it was specifically for the piece of park property that's getting swapped, if you will, with the community foundation. It gives the community foundation the ability to do what it needs to do on that, new property, so the new community foundation building that they're moving forward with. Nathan Builder was here at the last meeting and to present that. Are there any questions, comments, concerns from the last meeting or up to this point that you have? Okay, hearing none, then I'll if I could have a motion to approve Ordinance 2020-38 on second and final reading. Motion by Jenny, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, it is unanimous. I am not leaving you. I'm going to move screens here. Yes, I will make sure. Rosie has respectfully requested you stop in and sign the document when you get a moment in the next couple of days, please. Okay, next up is a disclosure of relatives' approval. In front of you the first one is mine, my disclosure of relatives' contract with the municipality. As you know, my aunt is a landscaper, and my mother is a caterer, at least for a short more time. So I disclose those two things, that if we do have those services, they've been fully disclosed. Any questions regarding that disclosure? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the Mayor Council Member Disclosure of Relatives contract with municipality for me, Mayor Ryan Daniels?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, it passes unanimously. Next up is the, And then the next one is the same disclosure for Court Treasurer Reggie Coyle. There are no relative contracts on there. Can I have a motion to approve the Mayor Council Member Disclosure of Relative Contract with Municipality for Rosie Coyle, Court Treasurer?
So moved.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you. Tip, I don't need your vote. okay. That appears to be the end of our agenda on that regard. So, with that, I will move over to the department heads, and Scott, we'll start with you first.
Good evening, everybody. Just wanted to let you know that we are doing a little bit of extra patrol in the areas where our U.S. representative lives and does business, because there's been random threats to several congressmen all over the United States. So we set up some surveillance patrol and stuff, just to ensure we don't have any unrest in the city. Officer Braxton Madison has completed his 40-hour training. He has started his FTO process. We might see him out and about in uniform, but he'll be with a field training officer. And then Officer Brennicky and Officer Baker resume the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy virtually on January 19th. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Questions of Scott? Thank you, Scott. Sean?
Well, we've got Christmas decorations down for the year. I think it went really well this year, considering we didn't have all the opportunities to put all the lights out, but thanks to the guys for that. I think, again, they did a great job on the tree on the courthouse there. I got a lot of compliments on that. Also, we're working with IDAM on some underground storage tank violations, I guess, just some paperwork that needs to be turned in. I'm working with them on that. Hopefully, that's resolved in the next couple of weeks. Also, a solar solar park is getting very close to going online. By online, I mean not fully operational, but receiving some energy from it just as a trial basis. So we're on track, on schedule on that. And hopefully we're still shooting for maybe a March, April ribbon cutting on that project. So we'll keep you advised on that. Other than that, we're just kind of doing daily stuff. It's kind of tough to slip through to do a major project, but we're just keeping up with the daily work.
Questions for Sean? Thank you, Mike Shoda.
Last week was kind of a bad week for us. We had 3 main breaks. They were taken care of pretty easily. Also, we found out what was wrong with our well 6, 7, and it was because we had a loose connector, and it was causing all our problems there. Also, the board approved a new vacuum truck with the Rosie getting it, figure out how to finance it or how we were going to. But so, with the new laws coming down, about boil water and all that, it's kind of hard. We need something that we can pump the water out, and so we can leave the water on, because once you shut the water off, you're going to have to put a boil water out. So with this pump, with this new vacuum truck, we can pump off the water as fast as we pump it in.
Great. Questions or Chairman? Thank you. Kip?
Ted, I'll give an update on RDC since you weren't there. It was a 12-minute meeting, so that was happy. We are starting to do the remediation at the Cardinal Grain site starting the end of the month, so we're moving ahead with that. We are moving ahead with community crossings. They have bumped up the grant application. Then in January, we're going ahead with Westgate and hopefully some other streets. We applied for an NDOT grant to get a trail to the high school, and tomorrow say a little prayer for me and give them a presentation to NDOT. So other than that, nothing else.
Thank you, Kip. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing. I'm doing that ice skating rink.
So that's a good question. Rosie asked about the skating rink. Mark and I have been in constant contact about that. We've had multiple conversations. We are, because we remain in the red category, it's remaining closed. And once we move into orange, then we'll open it back up, or we'll open it up, I guess, for the beginning of the year. For the first time this year, we're obviously, it's frustrating we remain in the red category. It's obviously frustrating that I just looked at our numbers, and I don't know if it was a couple of days ago, but we had 61 new cases in Whitley County. Our positivity rate is going back up, which is not a good thing. But the good news is that there are, you know, vaccines are starting to get in, I think, tomorrow. So that's a good thing. I wish we had more than, I think it's 100 or whatever vials that we're getting in Whitley County. But you know, again, progress is being made. But, yeah, so we're still waiting for us to be downgraded to the county before we'll open up that skating rink.
Is Fort Wayne in the orange?
So Fort Wayne is in the orange.
Because I knew theirs was open.
Yep. And you know, again, Mark and I had a lot of conversation about that. It just was one of those that we just felt like it didn't make sense to invite people to come to hang out together when we're still in the red category.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's a great question, those are quick. Anything else?
No.
Dan?
Nothing.
Nothing. Walt?
Nothing.
Jenny?
Nothing.
Tad?
Nothing for me.
Jennifer?
Nothing for me.
By the way, Jennifer, it's great to see you. I feel like it's been like years since I've seen you for some reason. I don't know why. A couple of things just for your information. Mike Cook, we actually have a long-term patrol plan project progressing tomorrow. Chip, I think I am going to be there for at least a portion of it. Okay. Well, I think it's going to be in that, yeah. But in any case, long story short is we had some issues with that control panel he's been talking about for a while now. And so I'm assuming they're going to get hammered pretty hard tomorrow at that progress meeting. But supposedly it's been ordered, so we'll kind of see from there. This Thursday I have my second time now. We're doing the radio program with WJHS. That actually airs on, I believe it's Monday at 5 o'clock, right before the city or the school board meeting. So I really appreciate the opportunity for that. I've also been involved, by the way. Parkview Whitley has started to host a weekly vaccination planning meeting on a Zoom meeting or a Microsoft Teams meeting. So that's great. I kind of get to know a little bit about what's going on just a little bit. Obviously, the city isn't directly involved as much as certainly the health department, county health department is. But keep working toward that. And let me see. Obviously, Monday, City Hall is closed in the service of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Just looking to see if there's anything else. Hey, Chip, while you're on here, just because you've been a little bit involved in this, can you give an update regarding the housing authority and the house on Van Buren Street, if there is any? Should I not get it?
No update. I am very, very sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
I wish I could get something. I'm very sorry.
No, that's okay. I do know that they've been discussing it, and I know that it, I think it's completed, or at least majority completed, so I'm anticipating that we'll get onto the market very soon, and I think they want to target a low to moderate income family of sorts, I think, but again, I'm not sure.
I know if I may interject, I know the asking price was like $179,000 was what the appraised price was, so I mean, in today's market, that's low to moderate,
yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, that's all I can interject on that. Sorry.
Nope, you're fine. You're fine. So, okay. I think that's all. I think that's all I have. I will tell you that I've not made a determination on work schedules past January 30th or whatever date we had put down there, 29th, something like that. What? 29th. So. I may or may not be coming to you at the next council meeting to extend our emergency declaration or not. It just depends on where we're at that point in time. But I anticipate that we are going to be figuring that out shortly. I will also tell you that the federal government ended the 80-hour paid sick leave mandate that we had. Ended that at the end of last year. It was not re-upped in the CARES Act. However, many other municipalities have continued that on. I've extended that for 30 days on that. Just in talking with Beth, obviously we want to ensure that if our employees are sick, that they have that incentive to stay home during that time frame. Past that, I'm not 100% sure where we're at with that. So we'll be talking about it and stuff. I just want to let you know that the county has also had extended it, so we're not completely on a ledge by ourselves. A lot of municipalities have done that. So high school is coming down very quickly. If you've not seen it, it's crazy quick. Seeing inside the auditorium and gymnasium from Whitley Street is pretty incredible. And we did have a resident come in right before the Board of Works meeting that had concerns about drainage from the park project on the CCHS property, potentially, you know, creating additional drainage issues for him who lives on Collinwood, I think it's Brownwood. But in any case, talked to him a little bit today, a couple years early from a major development project there. But I did encourage him to send a letter. If you get a letter about that, that's why. With that, I guess we'll adjourn. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful night. Thank you for all your hard work on behalf of our residents. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Good night.